ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, entitled Lord Krishna's Explanation of Vedic Path, Text Number 15. Mantrasya cha parijnanam karma shuddhir madharpanam dharmaha sampadyate षड्वे अधर्मास्तु विपर्ययः। मन्त्रस्य च परिज्ञानम् कर्मशुद्धिर्मदर्पणम् धर्मः संपद्यते षड्वे अधर्मस्तु विपर्ययः। मन्त्रस्य च परिज्ञानम् कर्मषड्भिर्मदर्पणम् धर्मः संपद्यते षड्वे अधर्मस्तु विपर्ययः। मन्त्रस्य च परिज्ञानम् कर्मशुद्धिर्मदर्पणम् धर्मः संपद्यते षड्वे अधर्मस्तु विपर्ययः। मन्त्रस्य, the purification of a mantra, cha, and parijnanam, correct knowledge, karma, of work, shuddhi, the purification, mat arpanam, offering unto me, dharmaha, religiousness, sampadyate, is achieved. Shadbhi, by the six. Purification of place, time, substance, the doer, the mantras, and the work. Adharmaha, irreligiosity. Two, but. Viparyaya, otherwise. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A mantra is purified when chanted with proper knowledge, and one's work is purified when offered to me. Thus, by purification of the place, time, substance, doer, mantras and work, one becomes religious. And by negligence of these six items, one is considered irreligious. Translation, please repeat. A mantra is purified when chanted with proper knowledge, and one's work is purified when offered to me. Thus, by purification of the place, time, substance, doer, mantras, and work, one becomes religious. And by negligence of these six items, one is considered irreligious. Purport. One receives a mantra from the mouth of a bona fide spiritual master who instructs the disciple in the method, meaning, and ultimate purpose of the mantra. The bona fide spiritual master in this age gives his disciple the Maha Mantra, or the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One who chants this mantra considering himself to be the eternal servant of the Lord, gradually learns to chant offenselessly, and by such purified chanting quickly achieves the highest perfection of life. The Lord here summarizes his discussion of purity and impurity, which manifest ultimately in religious and irreligious life. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this verse tells about the six items which we were discussing in past few classes. So this chapter basically tells about the purity and impurity of these few items. So, in last few classes we have discussed four out of these six, and today's verse discusses two more, which is the mantra and the work. How a mantra is pure or impure, and how a work done by us is considered pure or impure. So, in regards to work, it says madharpanam, like one's work is purified when offered to me. So when we offer whatever we are doing to the Supreme Lord, then it is considered perfect or pure. So everyone is working, like Bhagavad Gita says, no one can not work even for a moment. So everyone is working, but most of them are working improperly. So here it says how to do work properly, and that is by offering the work to the Supreme Lord. So that's the trick given here. So among intelligent men, unintelligent men anyway, they are just doing, you know. There's a slogan, just do it, you know. Whatever you feel like, you do it, you know. So that's very unintelligent. But that's like on animal platform. Animal doesn't think, you know. If animal gets an impulse, or you know, and that's it. There is some food, he will just go and eat, you know. If there are other animals, he will just fight with them. In India, you can see on the streets all night they'll bark, you know. Dogs are there on the streets. They'll bark just for some food or something. So that's like animal existence, if you know, just do it, basically. So an intelligent man thinks, okay, I'm doing this work, and there's law of karma existing, so if I'm doing something, I'm going to get a result. But what goes around comes around, you know. So he thinks, oh, is it good? Am I going to get a good result, or am I going to get a bad result? So then an intelligent man at least starts thinking, okay, which are the good activities and which are the bad activities. And he tries to reject bad activities and do the good work. But still that knowledge is not perfect. So perfect knowledge is given here about work, that the purest work is when it's offered to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, it says, Yajyathat karma nonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukt sangha samachara. That work done as a sacrifice to Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage. So whatever work you do, good or bad, you are bound in the material world. Even if you do good work, you have to come back again to reap the good results. You are still in the material realm. If you do the bad work, of course Yamdutas will be happy, and you have to get punishment for that. It will keep them engaged also. And so, but yagyarthat, we have to do work as a sacrifice to Vishnu or Krishna. So that's the real pure work. Otherwise, work causes bondage. So even among intelligent men who are trying to discriminate among different type of work, still it's very tricky. So if I do something, am I going to get entangled or is it liberating, you know? So fourth chapter also it says this, the work or, you know, akarma, karma, vikarma, it's a very complicated subject matter. So one has to be very intelligent in seeing, okay, is my work causing bondage, further bondage, like that. So, and work, and this verse, Yagyatat Karma Nanta, it says, the same work can bind you, and the same work can liberate you. It's just the intention, you know. So if you see devotees also go out, they work, you know, and another guy is sitting next to him, he's doing same work, reporting to the same manager, you know. But the result is totally different. Because one is doing for his own sense gratification, and a devotee does it for Krishna. So that work is liberating. So this is the pure type of work discussed here. So then next, another thing discussed here is about the mantra. A mantra is purified when chanted with proper knowledge. So we see in Vedic Vedas and Vedic literature like Puranas and Itihas, Mahabharata, like that, there's so many thousands and millions of mantras given. You know, so many mantras are given. So in the Vedic mantras, the mantras given in the Vedas are very, they have to be chanted with a proper meter and proper accent. Otherwise there is no effect. So, like this verse we sing, these verses we sing every day, you know. There's a meter and there's an accent, you know. Meter is the tune, you know, we go in. It's a long verse, we go like Brahma Samhita verses, we go different meter, like that. It's a short verse, we go different meter. An accent of a word, you know, you have to pronounce it in a mantra say or mantra say, you know, different accents, you know. So, but the Vedic mantras, if you chant with a wrong accent or a wrong meter, there is no effect. So that's why, so these are the, and these mantras of Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, you know, even if you try your best to pronounce as good, as best as possible, but if you are sincere, there is an effect, like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it says, like the Brahmanas or the Yajnik Brahmanas who try to practice these Vedic mantras properly with nice accent and meter, that's very good. But better than them, or they are saying, but there are Parivrajakacharyas. Parivrajakacharyas are the preachers of the knowledge of Vedas and Vedic literature. So Parivrajakacharyas, they have understood the meaning of these mantras, and they are going from person to person and they are preaching like that. So so that's very important also, not just to, you know, get stuck on the, you know, meter and accent of the mantra, but we have to know the essence of it. So it says, like in Bhagavad Gita, the goal of Vedas, Vedaischa Sarva Aham Eva Vedya. So Krishna says, the goal of all the Vedas, all these Vedic mantras, is to know me, you know. So if you pronounce all the mantras nicely, with nice meter and accent, but you don't know Krishna, what's the use? Yeah. So these Parivrajakacharyas, or the real devotees of Lord, they are traveling and preaching, and they have understood, you know, these the meaning of these mantras. So that's very important. So they, so in this day and age, actually it's not to follow this, follow Vedas very properly and, you know, recite all the mantras in a very pure time, place, circumstance. It's very hard because this whole age is impure. It's Kali Yuga. Kaler Doshe Nide Rajan. This age is full of, it's like ocean of faults. So this chapter is actually talking about, you know, different faults in time, place, circumstance. But, you know, in this age, it's like ocean of faults. You don't have to look, oh, this is good or this is bad. Everything is bad only. You know? So only one thing is good, you know. Holy name. Yeah. So that's why. So in this day and age, it's not possible. There's one example I wanted to give. There's, in India, there's a group. They try to follow Vedas very nicely. All four Vedas are there. They have this, these books, big books, very thick books, you know. And they try to do these fire sacrifices, big fire sacrifices. Not as big they were doing in Treta Yuga, but considerably big. And they try to recite these Vedic mantras very properly, you know, proper time, place, circumstance. And a few of my relatives also, they follow them in that group. So they what they do is, every year they perform in one place in Delhi. They do in a big park, they do these big yagyas. So once I also went, and after that they distribute food. So they invited us, so we went. And so what they do in a big park, they'll put big havan kundas, the fire sacrifices, around 10 to 11 at a, you know, few meters apart, 10 meters apart. It's a big park and they are sitting and they're chanting these Vedic mantras as best as possible. You know, and they are trying to, and they choose a very auspicious day, New Year's Day, 1st January. Every year it's 1st January. I don't know, it's not according to the Vedic calendar, but that's a very auspicious time for them. So they do this on every big, and after that they have food and like that. But few of them, practitioners, they are also eating meat. So very, this is, so how can you pronounce all the mantras properly and, you know, and in your habits you are unclean. There's no effect. It looks a big show, you know, so many big, so much fire is there. It's good in winter, it's like December, January is like chilling winter, so it's good, you know, they get some heat, people get some heat. In that sense it's good, but ultimately there's no cleanliness of the consciousness is not getting clean. So, and it's impure basically. So, there's no use. And also they have like this, they have this motto like we have, back to Godhead, BTG, they have back to the Vedas, like that. So, but they don't understand the goal of Vedas, which is going back to Godhead. So they're stuck in reciting the mantras nicely, but there's no effect, you know. So that's why it is important to recite these mantras nicely, but more important is to know the meaning of those mantras, so, you know, which is devotional service to the Lord, like that. So another example from Srimad Bhagavatam is about Ajamil in sixth canto. How Ajamil, from childhood, he was born in a Brahmana family, very pure family, and he was trained up as a very nice brahmachari, and he could recite all the Vedic mantras very properly with proper meter and everything. So even though this training was there, but once he just saw in a forest, he saw a man and a woman, and then the fall down began. So even though he was perfect in those meters, so this incident is given there. So So the main principle is not the knowledge of these Vedas and Vedic mantras. The main principle is service to the Lord. Like that. So in this section only, Ajamil's pastimes, and Prabhupada, in one of the Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada says, he says in the Bengali, it is said, is muchi haya shuchi haya yadi Krishna bhaje. So there is muchi. Muchi means impure and shuchi means pure. So it says, a muchi who is impure becomes pure if he worships Krishna. Like that. So that's the main thing. So all these impurities, it goes when you serve Krishna nicely. And shuchi haya muchi haya yadi Krishna tyaje. Means even if you are pure, born in a pure Brahmana family, but if you have left Krishna or not following Krishna, not worshipping Krishna, then you are as good as muchi, And Prabhupada further in that lecture he explains like the muchi, the word muchi in India, you know, mochi is the cobbler and the shoemaker. That's mochi. It's very considered dirt, impure. Because he's, what does a cobbler do? He's making shoes and slippers with all different, leather and skin, he deals with all these skins of dead animals like that. Skin of a cow or a goat like that. So that's why he's considered very mochi. He's called mochi. He used to call mochi, like that mochi or muchi, same actually. So that's very, very dirty occupation. So that's muchi. And then Prabhupada was saying in the West, now they are called like, the same mochi is called tannery expert, Tannery, they deal with all these skins and, make different items of leather and like that. So, and Prabhupada was saying, same thing, it's dirty. So dealing with skin. Then further Prabhupada explains how, not only the tannery experts, all other people who are basically, they are dealing with the skin. So then Prabhupada says, if you think white skin, black skin, or brown skin, Indian skin, Australian skin, so whoever is thinking like this, they are muchi. Yeah. So basically what it means is the bodily concept of life. So whoever is thinking or whoever is at the bodily conception of life, he is muchi, like that. Shuchi means coming to Krishna consciousness, like that. If you worship Krishna, that's the real purity, like that. And also in regards to these mantras, it said like, this chanting mantra is okay, but also more important is the realization you get from chanting these mantras. So, only the parrot like chanting won't help. So it's like a parrot, you can train a parrot to speak English language or whichever language, or you can train him to chant Hare Krishna mantra also. So he parrot can mimic, you can train him to mimic. He doesn't understand the meaning of mantra. He can just repeat or say many things, full conversation like that. But what happens is, he can chant Hare Krishna very nicely and everything, but you hold his neck, what will he say? He will just, something like that. Some foul language in his language, his own way, whatever. So that's what. He doesn't understand meaning of that, mantra. So Hare Krishna Maha Mantra means we are trying to remember Krishna. We are praying to Krishna. So we always try to remember what we are attached to. So basically chanting all the time, it attaches us to Krishna. So holy name is non-different from Krishna. So in 8th chapter, actually Kesha Prabhu was also discussing how yesterday's verse was saying remembrance of me. You know, the main, the self is cleansed by bathing, charity and all that, and also remembrance of me. So how, by remembering the Lord, you get cleansed like that. So chanting, in 8th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes in few purports where, it says, how at the time of death, antkale cha mam eva smaran mukta kalevram. So at the time of death, Krishna says, if you remember me, then you attain my abode, you come to me. So how to remember Krishna at the time of death? So time of death, very few people know when is the time of death. So it's not a certain. So it can come any moment. So basically, we have to remember Krishna at every moment, because death can be at any moment like that. So how to remember Krishna all the time is, Prabhupada says in 8th chapter Bhagavad Gita purports, chant all the time. When you chant, you remember Krishna like that. You chant and you hear like that. It's the whole day what we speak, what we hear, that's the impression in the mind. We get attached to those things. If you chant whole day, about something, some gadgets, phone, whole consciousness is absorbed there. So at the end, time of death, remembering the phone, I don't know what will become next life. A phone mechanic or something. Serviceman. Like that. So this is where your consciousness is absorbed. That's very important. So by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all the time, the aim is to remember Krishna all the time. As Rupa Goswami says, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So how to remember Krishna always? By chanting Hare Krishna always. So that's the trick. Prabhupada reveals the trick. That's the secret. It's so easy to chant Hare Krishna. Just, very simple. You can speak Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Krishna is there. So you can remember Krishna. It's very easy. But Prabhupada also says the application is hard. So like that. So anyway, so here it, in the purport of today's verse, it says, one who chants this mantra, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, considering himself to be the eternal servant of Lord, gradually learns to chant offenselessly, and by such purified chanting quickly achieves the highest perfection of life. So by chanting, the main thing is we have to learn how to chant offenselessly. So there are three stages of chanting. The first stage is the Naam Aparadh stage, or the offensive chanting. So we do the 10 offenses which we recite every morning, not to do those offenses. So there are 10 offenses, 10 main offenses in chanting the holy name. So that's the first stage. Because of our past conditioning, past millions of lives we have spent in this material world, because of our impurity, we commit these offenses. So we have to avoid these offenses and come to the next stage, which is Namabhas stage, or in which we have avoided the offenses, and it's like it is said, and the third stage is Shuddha Naam, or the pure name. It's like a full, so the Shuddha Naam stage is like the rising of full sun of Krishna, and Namabhas stage, second stage, is like early in the morning, when early morning you can't see the sun, but sun rays are there and you can see everything else. So that's like Namabhas stage, and Shuddha Naam stage when there is full sun is there, like that. So slowly we have to, we have to go from one stage to other. We can't just hang on to one of the offenses and keep going that I'm avoiding 9, just one. So that's 9 out of 10, 90%, consider good marks. But no, here it's like you have to be 100%. you have to avoid offenses. The main offense is to blaspheme the devotees of Lord who are spreading the glories of Lord. So that's the main hindrance, to casually talk about devotees, to blaspheme devotees like that, so that criticize devotees. So that's, we have to avoid that. So first thing, actually Banu Maharaj was giving class here this year or last year, can't remember, but someone asked about these offenses, that how to avoid these offenses, something like that. So he says, to avoid offenses, first know the offenses. What are the offenses? So that's my nectar of devotion, and you know, there are so many other offenses to deities and holy name, they are given. So if we don't know, means we are continuously committing those offenses. So we have to know about these offenses, so that we are doing something wrong. And it is said, like, if you know that you are doing something wrong, it's like almost 50% you have won the battle. But now you start doing to improve, to make solution to the problem, like that. So, like that. And when you at least recognize that there is a problem, oh, my chanting is not pure, there are offenses, I'm not feeling that chanting is pure. So that itself means there is some purification coming. You can at least see that, there are impurities. So at least your vision is slowly clearing. Previously, we don't know, you know, everything we are doing is right, and we are chanting purely, everything is good. But when you see, there are problems, so that's a good sign actually. So then we can improve on that, like that. So purification, this chapter is about purity, impurity, like that. So main thing is purity of consciousness, and how it says cheto darpan marjanam, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the consciousness is cleansed, you know. And once why this knowing these offenses is also very important is, like, as I think 2 days back in Narottam Prabhu's class, there was an item, intelligence, how if you are less intelligent, then there are less, if one is less intelligent, he does some fault, so there is less punishment, like that. So once when you know some offenses, of that these are the offenses, and you still do it, means there is little more punishment, like that, you know. I remember someone was telling me, these in India, in Bombay, I think they were doing these seminars, basic seminars in which new people are invited, science of self-realization, 7-day seminars. They cover, you know, all Bhagavad Gita about karma, basic topics. They show slide shows. So after that, one man was like, he was very angry, and he told the speaker, what did you do, you know? I was so happy till now. I was like, so happy. Now you have shown me all this, you know. You suffer like this if you don't. Now I'm miserable. I can't do all these things now, you know. So that's the thing. So if you know something which is bad and you still do it, so then there is more, you know, punishment, like that. So we have to be very careful. So it's, you know, it says ignorance is bliss. So he was in, you know, bliss, you know, doing everything. So actually, that's not bliss. He's going to suffer very soon, you know. So real bliss is devotional service by following all these rules and regulations. And so we have to become purified, like that. And also, how these impurities are there. There's different different desires are there. So it's very, we can't become, like, you know, desireless. Okay, all impurities are gone and that's it, void. You know, So we don't have to become desireless. We just have to purify the desires like that. And pure desires are which are in line with the previous acharyas, previous, you know, parampara. The real desire is the desire of the parampara. You know, Prabhupada's desire was to spread Krishna consciousness. Same, Mahaprabhu is distributing the holy name. So if our desire is in line with that, so that's pure desire, like that. So, as we are reading, all today's verse says, six things have to be purified. That's place, time, substance, doer, mantras, work, you know, all these things. And there's a similar verse in 8th canto where Shukracharya, who is the spiritual master of demons, so he is saying, it's very strange actually, he is spiritual master of demons, and he is like a yagyik brahmana. He is like a brahmana who is brahmana by birth, not by qualification. Because he was born as a brahmana, so he is into all these chanting these mantras nicely. But even he is saying that even though there's a verse which says that even though there are discrepancies in following these, pronouncing these mantras, or even discrepancies in time, place, you know, person, paraphernalia, but wherever your holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So there are very intricate rules. We should try to follow them nicely, but main thing is chanting holy names very nicely. So then everything becomes faultless, like that. So like in deity worship or in temple, there are many things we have to do properly, try to do very properly. Should avoid the faults. But still, if there is some problem, you can't do everything perfectly, you know, 100% perfect. There would be some discrepancy. So even though there is any discrepancy, then Prabhupada writes in that purport that we should compensate that by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So in this day and age, as we said, it's like ocean of faults. So only remedy is sincere chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then everything becomes purified. Also, we need to follow everything nicely and chant sincerely. So that's the best thing. So I'd like to end there and ask if there's any questions or comments. Yes, sir.
You want to tell us something about Vrindavan Das Thakur?
Vrindavan Das Thakur. Not sure, no, I haven't heard much.
He is the speaker.
Yes, Prabhu, please.
The incarnation of Vyasadeva,
okay,
in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, and he compiled Chaitanya and Bhagavat, and it is very interesting to hear the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur was the niece of Narayani. It's not something I can just give to you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to personally give his remnants to this daughter of Narayan, niece of Narayan, who later on became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And there is a place in Mayapur, Mahamdakshi, if you must have gone there, Parikrama time. So he has compiled the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, it is mentioned probably he wrote this book in the name of Chaitanya Mangal, but because Rosindas Thakur has already written this book, later on he wrote the Chaitanya Mangal, so he changed his name to Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it's considered the incarnation of Vyasadeva, and Vrindavan Das Thakur and Rajagupta, the two persons whose compilation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is mostly covering the whole pastimes A couple of other pastimes including Dhammadhamma Thakur, he is considered Acharya also. He is considered the incarnation of Vyasadeva. And from the beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him through his mother. This is much, as much I know right now, but we need more at this time. This way, he is.
Any other questions or comments? In the end, which I said, that if there is a discrepancy, you compensate it. So, reference is 8.23.16 purport. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Your realization of how to improve chanting.
How to improve chanting? I've got little help from Bhurijan Prabhu's workshops. Actually, when I was very new, like around four years ago, like that. And Prabhu did a workshop here in theater. So, and from that time, I liked that. I was following what he said. And then again, we went to the Japa retreat. So, try to hear one mantra. So, I try to do that. So, it's a struggle, but so that would be my comment on that.
Any important points?
About chanting. So try to hear one mantra, and best chanting is when the tongue is chanting and ears are hearing and nothing else is going on. Sorry? I didn't hear. Oh yes, stress on the first hare. There are many things Prabhu said. Stress on the first hare, posture should be straight, you know, many things which help. So there is that. Yes, Prabhu.
It's an interesting translation. Where it says, the mantra is purified and chanted from the knowledge. So we see that our knowledge is purified in the mantra, but everyone can understand that we chant mantras for our purification.
Can you say that again? Mantra is.
When we read the translation, it says the mantra is purified and chanted with proper knowledge.
Yes.
So it would appear that the state of our knowledge establishes the purity of the mantra. So generally we chant mantras for our purification, not our knowledge purifies the mantra.
That's right. So that's said in the sense, like we mentioned, the Vedic mantras, if chanted wrongly, they are impure. So it's in that regard. So if it's chanted with proper knowledge, right accent, right meter, then it's pure and there is effect. So how in sixth canto they said, like they were doing a yajna to produce a demon to kill Indra. And they had to chant this mantra and say Indra Shatru in a right way. But they pronounced it wrong, so they created a demon who was going to be killed by Indra. So that's all. But Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is different. It's pure, you know. So even though we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without knowledge, without proper knowledge, it has an effect. So that's different. And this mantra here, which says it's regarding that Vedic mantras which have to be chanted properly. Yeah, in the purport, Prabhupada says that because he diverts the whole thing. He diverts the whole thing. So Prabhupada sometimes he does that. Even in Bhagavad Gita, if you see some places, the word in the shloka would say something else, you know, Buddhi Yoga or something. But even Karma Yoga, You know, but in purport and translation, Prabhupada will totally divert it and say bhakti yoga, like that. So he like takes out the essence of the mantra, which is important for us. So, yeah, we don't even, like most of the Vedic mantras, they start with Om, it says. We don't hardly know even one or two, you know, all the, so main thing for us is this, that's why I think that Prabhupada is giving that. Yes, probably.
Well, you can understand like this also, even for Hare Krishna mantra. If we understand the proper, like, it's just the proper knowledge of each syllable, what Krishna actually means, what Rama actually means, what Hare Rama really means. Sometimes devotees chant and they eat the mantras, you know. They keep on eating the mantras, Krishna Rama. That is not purified chanting, and that's not going to purify us. So that's not pure chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. If they are eating the mantras or if they are going too fast. So with proper knowledge means with proper knowledge of the meaning of each and every syllable and how it is non different from the Supreme Lord. So if it is done in that way, then that is pure chanting of mantra. Otherwise, as Prabhupada was saying, otherwise it's not effective and it will not purify us. And so otherwise the mantra is supposed to purify us. But if it is not chanted in a pure way, with proper knowledge of each level, then probably it's not going to bring up success. So we may not be eating them or not. We have to understand the whole thing. Especially if it's stressed, like let's say that chanting may not be too much helpful. Rather, we will lose the taste. Chanting is supposed to, it says Ananda Bodhi Vardhana, it is supposed to increase our nectar. But if we are doing impure chanting, then we will think, oh, it is said that chanting should free us from much life, but it has no taste, so even we become more offensive and we ignore even chanting. Proper knowledge of even Hare Krishna mantra helps us in chanting it purely, and then probably it will bring pure results. This is one thing we can also understand about Hare Krishna mantra itself. And of course, other mantras definitely need complete power of knowledge.
Yes, thank you. Any other points? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi ki.